do that. If an 18-year-old girl was like, yo, you better fucking stuff me later, I'd be like, okay, you have fucking issues and you need to call your dad.
I feel like I'm going to get a manila envelope in the mail with pictures of it and a ransom. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you'll be tied up in a hotel blindfolded in a couple of days.
All right, fine. I'll play a boy. Hey, so what? You fucking me later?
For sure.
Dope. Some of this is bad.
Some of this is bad. Some of this is bad. Some of this is bad. To drag out whores. No.
When was the last time you did ketamine?
It was a little over six years ago.
Damn.
I love it.
Was that your thing?
No, heroin was my thing, but ketamine is something I love.
Because you're a downer.
Say it again, but say dream.
What do you mean?
Say heroin was my thing, ketamine was my dream.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, heroin was my thing, ketamine was my dream.
I understand.
Thank you for not just like saying it either. Right, you fully went back and acted it out. That's what we were looking for.
Totally. I don't know what's going to happen with the content. I'll give you whatever you want.
Oh, for
you
sure.
Know
what I
mean? I'm here for you.
We can write lines.
Yeah,
I've
absolutely.
I've been dying to get a heroin addict from Massachusetts on the podcast. Yeah. I have been. I've been like, we got to get Nat.
Yeah.
I suggested Craig. He goes, no, not him.
Not Craig. Yeah. Okay. I want a different heroin addict.
Yeah. Well, you're looking for one who's not active.
yeah.
An active shooter, if you will.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Well, I just felt like every time I went to a meeting, it was like every single person there knew all of the phrases, and they're fucking throwing things out. Yeah. It's like, what, we are all of a sudden Matt Damon and Good Will Hunting in the court scene. Like, objection. Yeah. Objection. He's talking about something he's not supposed to. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's crazy.
I used to inject puddle water. How do you like them apples?
Yeah. it was crazy. But I will say, now that I've, you know, haven't drank for like 2 years, I am like, oh yeah, well now I've just made sex my problem.
it's
so easy. I was like, I guess I should have done the steps.
I remember a guy one time when I was like, I was maybe like 6 months sober, and I was just starting to get like a little bit of like, I guess the best way to put it would be like some swag back, because you're just like
6 months
so
in,
like scared before.
Oh yeah, first 6 months I was like, I'm not horny. Something happened after 6 months of not drinking, and I was like, somebody's dick is going to get sucked. I was like, and that is just what's going to happen.
Yeah. It could be a homeless guy, whoever's in the closest proximity. So I was like, I was
have
like,
you done that?
What, sucked off a homeless guy?
A homeless or girl?
Well, they were wearing a wig. But, so what happened was, I was first comfortable enough to like talk to someone that I wanted to have sex with. It took like 6 months before I felt like not just like a complete monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got this girl's number that was working at an ice cream place that we all went to, like a bunch of homies after a meeting. And this guy who had been sober forever, he like put his arm around me and he was like, hey man, just so you know, like there's a couple things that take new guys out every time, and that's the green and the pink, right? Because it's so, and we, I don't like how you say that.
No, you said it. I didn't say it.
Well, I'm putting you into his body. Oh, right.
Wait, weed and pussy,
money.
Oh, money and pussy.
Because it's so easy to, like, just the same way, like, just you feel like you're making up for lost time, and now ambition's coming back and all of this stuff. It's just, like, so easy to get lost in your work or whatever other ambitious endeavors you can, or just fuck a lot, or both. You know what I mean? Everyone just kind of, like, if not, like, checked and, like, you're not, like, working on, like, the spiritual side, you just become, like, Patrick Bateman from American Psycho is what happens. When you just go dry and then, like...
I have an ice mask on jerking off. I know what's going on. I'm, like, fully, like, oh, I'm trying to look really fucking good and fuck.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, oh, I'm always in the mirror just, like, moving my skin. The skin's all the way up to here. I'm, like... I saw a video of a guy doing the other day who lost a ton of weight. He, like, takes the skin. He, like, pulls it all the way to the side. He's, like, this is what a warrior looks like. Like, I can't wait till
damn,
I
damn, Darian that. Said that? That's crazy. That's wild. But I remember being so offended that this guy, I was like, dude, I'm like just starting to like this is the first time I've talked to a girl in like legitimately years. And I was like, God damn. And I didn't listen, and I had like a ton of sex, and I like,
with the ice cream girl,
we hooked up a little bit, but I went, probably the wildest tear I went on was,
I feel like only like kids work at ice cream shops.
No, college student girls are like there for the summer.
So I was 25.
She was 11.
Yeah. I mean, she was like 20.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It was right there. It was right on the line.
Okay.
Of like,
hey, if it's legal, it's fine with me. He has different rules.
I don't have different rules.
What's your?
I just think I live in West Campus and I have a lot of 19-year-olds hitting me up, and I just think as an almost 30-year-old man, I don't need to have sex with 19-year-olds.
And I am gonna have sex. I'm gonna top an 18-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. Because I'll say this: in 10 years, there's not gonna be some 29-year-old kid saying, "I fucked Dylan Carlino at 19 and it made me feel weird."
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not gonna fucking catch me doing weird shit with young kids.
And in 19 years, they're not gonna want to have sex with me. Yeah. So I have to do it now.
I think I agree with both of you guys.
Cool, and you're gonna be so hot when you're 25 or 45. Yeah.
When I'm 45,
you're gonna be like,
yeah, I think you're gonna age incredibly.
Oh, you're gonna, yeah.
You're gonna that has some anger in it.
Actually, it did sound a little resentful. Yeah. No, you're gonna be fine. you'll be fine.
That's like you're like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing like here, and you're like, okay, I agree with both of you guys. I don't think I'd be comfortable hooking up with someone, even if they were like emotionally mature their age. I don't think I could hook up with somebody that young. But I also would never, like, if my friend did that, not one part of me would be like, ew, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool. So I could tell you about it later.
Yeah, 100%. You could brag about it. You could tell me you fucking killed the kid.
Yeah. That's cool.
But to a certain extent, like if you were friends with like D'Elia and he's 45 mm-hmm. years old, fucking 18-year-old women, you'd be like, cool.
It would be like a total nothing burger for me. You know what I mean?
Because this is my problem. Wait, is like,
he was under 18. That was the problem.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Everyone's cool with it that they're 18, but if they're 17, it's like, oh my God, how could you?
My problem
and
is like
I think it's creepy in both situations.
No. Here's the thing. I think it's a different thing to be like looking up the state legal minimums and choosing your age based on the legality of the state.
That's sketchy.
That's sketchy as fuck. And that's, you're doing something that you know is wrong if that's what you're doing. It's
church
legal. I will
also say what I frown upon more is that it's so easy to emotionally manipulate someone that young.
It's so easy to emotionally manipulate me. I'm 30. So, yeah. If someone says like, Dylan, you look really good today, I'm like, that person's a good person.
And that's why you never say that now.
Don't let it get to
him.
But that's the thing is that it feels like it would be so easy to just like use someone that age, and you'd have to be like incredibly thorough and clear to hook up with someone that age in a like cool way. You know what I mean?
Let's run it by. I'll play the 18-year-old, and would you like me to be a girl or a guy?
Now
you
that's
don't
a
have
big
sex
question.
With guys, do you?
Again, like they have to have tits. So that's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
my
yeah.
big thing.
I'll just be a regular old girl who works at an ice cream shop. How big a scoop do you want? Oh, also, are we fucking later or what?
For the scoop question, national average. If a girl was that direct with me, an 18-year-old, I do think I'd actually be like, I can't do it.
Why not?
Guys
you don't think
like
I have
that.
A
Guys
brain
like
because
that.
I don't. Oh, why?
Then I'd start as if a pretty 18-year-old started macking on me, I'd be like, "What's wrong with
this?" Like,
"Where's
the what is this, an FBI informant?" You can't do that. If an 18-year-old girl was like, "Yo, you better fucking stuff me later," I'd be like, "Okay, you have fucking issues. And you need to call your dad." Okay?
I feel like all I'm right. gonna get a Manila envelope in the mail with pictures of it and a ransom.
You'll be tied up in a hotel blindfolded in a couple of days.
All right, fine. I'll play a boy. Hey, so what? You me later
for sure.
Dope.
That's so funny. I do have sex with men only if they have tits. Do you like the triangle tits from being overweight or just real women tits?
Well, the latter one is not possible. that's not,
see if I'm in the running or what.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the whole thing, that line
for
me.
Yeah, what's your sexuality? Say it into the camera.
That line for me is like they have to be presenting as like incredibly feminine.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's masculinity, classic, traditional, old definition masculinity is unattractive to me in any sexual way.
Or identifying as that.
Well.
No, you.
Oh, me? Wait.
You don't like to identify as a classic masculine man.
No. I will say I've talked to some people and it's a new enough concept that it like I don't know, there's no real clear boundaries, but I've talked to people who have adopted being non-binary And then you talk to them and they're like, well, I never felt like I fit into a traditional male role or identified with that. And I was like, could it be? And then they stopped identifying as non-binary. I was like, today, do you just feel like a guy who is effeminate in some ways? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah. There's that. You know, yeah. What I mean? It's pretty cut and dry. And of course, there's a lot of people who have all kinds of other feelings about that. We're getting into murky waters. Let's move back to let's get. They have to present.
He doesn't have issues with trans people. He has sex with them.
Yeah, 100%. Believe me. I'll show you the documents. But yeah, they have to be like very effeminate, but then at the same time able to become erect. So it's really like,
yeah,
that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Or the semi-hard sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay, you like to get fucked by them?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. And that, thank you so much for that. Just makes me love
What I love about that is you get to see their like, tits go wild.
Yeah.
Like, boom, boom, boom. Why are you getting fucked? Yeah. I don't get that.
They're doing the dance like from Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Man Club on, what is it with the, on Comedy Central? Isn't it called the Man Club or something
like
that?
The Man Show.
Man Show.
Where Joey Diaz would run out.
No. At the end of every episode, they'd have girls jumping on trampolines.
That's right.
You get to have that, but yes. You're getting fucked. That's fantastic.
That's exactly correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is verbatim.
Someone like, I recently found out about this person, Blair White. They're mm-hmm. a trans woman.
Yeah.
Do they still watch have all of her penis? Videos.
What?
I watch all of her videos.
But does she still have a penis or no?
No, I don't think so.
No, so that wouldn't do it for you? Because it's too much like...
Not necessarily. I have topped trans partners. Mm-hmm. And I'm relatively indifferent about it. It's more that... the scarcity of meeting a trans person, one, who is a top, and two, who's willing to fuck me. Like, that's like, yeah, like, it's such a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that in my experience.
Hey, I have a wig.
Yeah. I actually do this. I've started to do this as a joke because I used to go on Grindr to meet trans people.
So do you remember that's when I fucking fell in love with you. I saw you on stage at the Creek. I had seen you once at East Austin, mm-hmm. and I think you had just gotten to town, and I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then I saw you here and you were talking about Grindr, and you said something that I was like, I've actually never related more to someone in my entire life, and I like pulled you aside and I was like, and then yeah. But yeah, you
what was it?
I don't remember. But it was something about gay guys hitting you up to have sex on Grindr,
yeah.
and you being like, ew. Yeah.
Well, it was like a couple things where it was like, one is like I would make it clear in my profile that I was only interested in trans women. And then the joke is that doesn't stop gay guys from hitting on you because some gay guys like turning straight men gay. That's like a fetish of theirs. And I understand completely. I've turned straight women gay completely by accident.
Yeah.
And then I go, and then the thing is that they try to, in those conversations, they try to negotiate your sexuality. And so a guy hits me up and he's like, hey, man, I heard that I see that your profile says trans women only. What if I wore a wig? And I'd be like, ew, what kind of wig?
Yeah.
And then one guy's like, hey, man, what if you just closed your eyes and let me suck your dick? And I was like, no, that's gay. I want to be fucked in the ass by a lady.
Thank you very much.
That's kind of the idea. And then I talked about how.
Have you ever had sex with a drag queen?
No.
Because you know. Too much. They're not attached.
The opportunity has never presented itself. I'm not sure that I would or I wouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'd have to do a taste test.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that would be the thing. It's the idea of someone who like lives their life as a man, and then I don't know if it would do it for me.
You're very into storytelling then.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you watch the intros?
I'm like this. the angle you're going for is that. Trans people are doing incredibly deep role play.
No, the opposite.
Okay, I gotcha.
The opposite. Gotcha. The drag queens are doing role play.
Yeah.
Do you hate that people bring it up and talk to you about it all the time?
Not really. I get that it's like,
I didn't bring it up today.
Yeah, I brought it up because I think it's interesting. What I think is so cool about you is, in comedy wise and just as a person, is that especially where we are in Austin, Texas, so many comics like to go on stage and say like really awful things about trans people to be like edgy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're doing on stage is so much cooler and edgier than anything else because you're literally just being honest about your actual experiences with drugs and hooking up with trans people. Mm-hmm. And And I think that's so much cooler to have – you have your own fully different perspective on it, that that's why I want to talk to – because most people go up on stage and they're like, the trans babies. And you're like, okay. Like, you're not even being edgy. You're like, saw a video. And I think what you're doing is just like so much more interesting.
I don't even think it's more punk rock to talk about it unless you're like, and I'm doing it. Like,
also,
because what they're saying is like, ew, gross, which is to me like you're presenting like you're a tough guy, but you're saying you wouldn't do something because it's icky.
Right. Also, whenever those guys are like, I'm like, dude, you're literally the only way you can nut is from trans porn.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And now you're being all fucking weird about it.
Yeah. I do get a lot of, and this is like not, I do get a ton of comics coming up to me and being like, dude, it's like crazy that you're talking about that. Like, I watch trans porn, or like, I'm starting to da da da. A lot of people like will talk to me about it, and I'm like, the funny thing about that is that I don't give a fucking shit about that. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not doing it to represent you or like, it's literally just what's happening.
Yeah.
So I like, there's no part of me that feels strange or if anything like totes the line of like coming off as offensive, which I also address in the bits that I do. I don't give a shit because it's 100% accurate.
It's hard to be offensive when you're being yourself. It's like, this is just a story that you're telling or whatever with jokes in it. And it's so much better than what these other people are doing.
I will say something that was really validating was that I had done that stuff and kind of like, I kind of stopped doing it. And then I went back to it and like rewrote it and got a lot more like direct with it and started caring less about like being clever with it. And although I like the material, I like focus more on being, and where I really tested, where it was really, really important for me to test it out was when I got to host for Jesse Kearson here.
Yeah.
Because it was by far the largest LGBTQ community that I'd ever performed in front of.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly important for me. It's like, it sucks when you're like doing a joke that either, it's not even a black joke, but like mentions a black guy and there's not one fucking black guy in the room. I don't do it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, that's not, I will have no idea if this is good or cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what black people actually can tell you, is that something's cool or funny. Because that's what black people don't, that's what they don't do. They don't fake laugh.
Never.
And that's the best part about them.
It's the. They don't fake laugh.
They don't. I love that.
But it's like that. I found that incredibly important. So I like went for it and it like worked better than it ever has, of course. Because that's always the fucking thing, is the group that, white ladies are trying to protect is always the coolest with whatever you're doing. I've yet to find it that like I do a joke that refers to a black, like I'll go to Houston and do the stuff, it'll be a 30% black room and they go nuts. You know what I mean?
It's when it's nuanced and just like you can tell that this person's actually being accurate with their joke. Mm-hmm. It's usually the jokes aren't offensive to me that I'm going like, what are you even fucking talking about? Like, you're so inaccurate. Just go meet some more people and you'll find out that's why. Like, when people are like, nobody wants to be offensive jokes anymore. It's like, it's not that it's offensive. It's just that it's not inaccurate. That
good. Yeah.
It's just inaccurate. And your premise is flawed.
There's nothing more embarrassing than a Comic-Con stage being like, oh, you guys are sensitive. It's like, dude, you're literally the worst comic I've ever seen in my life. And no one's sensitive here. We're all having a great time. You're thinking you're cool and funny, and you're not.
And then they'll get off and they're like, dude, they were soft.
Yeah.
You were bombing. Yeah. That's what was happening. But. Yeah, like there'll be a lot of that, and like I can only speak from like my perspective when watching people try like Jew jokes.
And your perspective is on all fours getting your ass ate.
100%.
Wait, you're Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear,
do you go on Birthright?
The two times that I went, we had to cancel. The two times that I was good to go, I had to cancel
because
first time I contracted spinal meningitis and was in the hospital for like 2
weeks. How old? How do you contract that?
Me too.
They still don't know. I had like a rare fungal variation that
in your spine.
Yeah, and they like, I mean, the amount of blood work that they did was just like, I literally was getting fucking vampire drained because they were like, dude, you're like on the cutting edge of this research. You have a thing that we've like never seen before. And so,
how old were you when that happened?
26.
Mm-hmm. Oh my! When I was 21, I also had meningitis, and the only way to test to see if you have meningitis, spinal tap.
Yep.
And this is when I was like over 400 pounds, and I was at this, I think that vintage hospital, and they said we actually have to move you to a different hospital because if you sit on the toilet seat, it will rip off the wall. And they had to load me up in the ambulance like a fucking wild animal and drive me to a different hospital.
Damn. Yeah. And they must have also used like a horse syringe to get in there.
I was thinking about the gurney bit. Did they have to get extenders for the side?
Oh my god, no.
Of the gurney bed?
No, that's so nice. No, I don't think so. Thank you so much for bringing
that. Or like a seatbelt extender?
I know. No, yeah, I never needed an extender. That's so nice of you to ask, Cole,
didn't I? Yeah, just making sure
you're comfortable. Go and ask the most thoughtful questions that hurt. Well,
did they give you any painkillers or local anesthetic before they did the spinal tap? Really?
No.
So then they offered me, well, they started talking as I was getting the spinal tap. Because the reason they found out is because I was literally being crazy. Like, it works its way up your spine into your brain. So I was, like, for, like, a week before I ended up in the hospital, I was, like, fainting. I was forgetting stuff. Like, I remember, like, I was selling drugs at the time.
I was wondering, like, you were like, is this the heroin or is it something else?
So,
like,
I was sober, but I was selling drugs. I was completely sober.
Okay.
And some guy called me. He, like, sold me, like 500, like, weed cartridges. And they were, like, not great. So I was in the process of returning them. And he was like, yeah, I'll come over right now. I'll get them. And then he showed up and he was like, where are the cartridges? And I was literally like, what cartridges? Like a week, like 5 minutes before having completely. And he assumed, he was a good buddy, he had assumed I was like relapsing. So he was like, let's come outside, have a cigarette. I lit the cigarette and started having a seizure. And so he called the ambulance. I woke up in the hospital and he told me I had shit the bed like more than once. And I was just like, had no idea what was going on.
Just
shit
the bed the other day.
Just
the other week.
Really?
Other week.
Yeah, but that's like a gay thing.
Yeah. I stuffed all night. No. What do you expect?
No, the hole's open, honey. No. Okay.
I love that. Not. Spinal meningitis.
It's not. I've been doing Kegels. It's fine. I also only do regular size penises. So yeah, it's not a thing.
That's actually so crazy. He was like, oh, let's go. What a good friend to be like, I'll let you return the cartridges. Let's go smoke a cigarette. Holy shit, he shit the bed.
literally.
Whoa.
And so I'm at the hospital and they're running tests. And then my mom showed up and they were like, okay, we're going to do a spinal tap and we're going to give you some fentanyl first. And I was like, I can't do the fentanyl. And they're like, no, they're like, this is as painful of a procedure as you can get without going under. And I was like, it's going to be worse if you give me the fentanyl, I promise.
Yeah.
And so he's like, all right, do it. And I remember, I'll never forget this. My mom, she like comes, she like grabs my hand, like words of encouragement. And she just goes, this is going to really suck. And that was it. And I was like, all right. And then, hey, yeah.
Spinal taps are the worst.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I've gotten a couple epidurals. I think that it's the same thing.
When did you get sober? Did you relapse after you started selling drugs?
I got sober at 25. I'm 31 now.
That's so funny that you got sober and then you're like, I'm now going to become a dealer.
Yeah. So
I was saves.
Well, that was part of it. Since I was like 13, I was always selling drugs.
Oh, really?
Always, yeah.
Well, how did you start selling drugs at 13?
This kid moved to town. This kid from Harlem, he was a Latin king. He moved to my town in the burbs, and his mom was actively trying to get him out of the hood, so she married rich and moved into my town. And I lived in a pretty affluent neighborhood at the time. We were broke, living in like a one-bedroom apartment, but it was a nice town. And so he was just like this hoodest kid, and he was like the only guy that would be my friend. I was like very much so an outcast. And he literally would teach me like the hood. Like he would teach me like, you ever get like a bag of drugs and there's like no tail on it? Like it's just the drugs and then a little like nub at the end. Like it.
What kind of drugs are we talking about?
Commonly it's crack and heroin that comes like that.
Yeah, I went like this and I was like, well, no.
No, you wanted to relate so badly. You're like,
In like little Ziploc bags like this big.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a very, like you take the corner of a Ziploc and then you twist off the end and you tie it and then you burn off the rest of it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just this little teeny nub. And so he like would teach me how to do that. And I remember this was like with bags of like shitty weed. We'd be at school and we'd have them like in our gums, like we're in The Wire, with nickel bags of bad pot. And then eventually I like graduated and like just kept selling drugs. And then in my late teens, got into like the music festival scene, started getting heavy into like Molly and acid and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then
licking your lips.
I think I got Molly and acid.
The truth is that I miss selling drugs much more than doing them.
Really? Mm-hmm. A lot more of money.
Yeah. I was very good at it.
Really? Yeah. I can see you being fun.
I can see you having a lot tucked in here.
Kilos of yeah. dope
group. I feel like you got the perfect face for hiding drugs.
It's like a gopher.
Wasn't it hard to sell drugs while you were on drugs? Or were you like, can I ask, I don't mean to sound rude, but like a chill heroin addict? Were you like, I'm doing heroin, but I'm still working?
That everything fell apart.
Yeah.
And
were you shooting it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
what does it feel like?
So good. It's truly incredible. I don't recommend it, but if you do want to feel the best thing on earth, that's it. It think about this often, is because eventually I got to a point in selling drugs where it was a very easy system. I had all of the people that would go and sell the smaller quantities for me, and I could just easily continue purchasing and distributing to like 5-6 people and be very comfortable. And I had it at that. And I was doing so many downers that I lost the will to even do that. So eventually my stack dwindled. I mean, I had gone through over the course of a couple of years, like 150 G's in savings of just...
For buying your own?
All cash?
Buying my own and balling out in other ways, yeah.
You had $150,000.
No savings. At one point,
look like? How much is that?
Looks like 1500.
No. is that one little safe full? Or
it was
kind of
all over the place. I had some stashed at my mom's. I had some stashed at home. I was like, just.
Does she have any idea you're selling drugs?
Yeah. She's
loving life. She's going on cruises.
Yeah, she's a crazy ass lady.
She's like, what's $3,000 to $150?
You know what I'm saying? She would help me stash everything. She liked doing blow and stuff. Like, she's crazy mom. But
fun mom. Was your mom one of those moms that was like, yeah, well, I had sex with one of Nat's friends. We're all doing coke.
Yeah. Totally.
That's so
totally
cool.
Totally that lady. She was like one of those things where it's like fun for all the friends, and then we all grow up and they're like, that was so sad. I remember one time I was doing H and ketamine with this kid who's now deceased. And we moved around a lot growing up, and it was just like all kinds of crazy shit going on. We had friends in like the mob, whatever. And
Italian mob?
Russian. That's
a scarier mob.
Yeah. And it was our buddy Yuri, he was the coolest guy ever. But I was getting high at my friend Nader's place, rest in peace, and he had been living in this like place his whole life. So he had like this room that had like, you know, all these family photos and this and that. And like just an accumulate the story of his life in his room. And I just didn't have that because we moved around all the time. And I was bouncing between my mom and my dad and stuff. And I remember all high. And I was like looking at all this stuff, realizing I like never had anything like that. And I was like, I was like 23 or something. I was like, Nader, I think I might've had like a fucked up childhood. And Nader just goes, yeah. You didn't know that? And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, oh, you're like our fucked up friend. He was like, we're all the ones. I was like, man, it's just like a shame about Nat. That was the funniest thing, that everyone knew that my situation was bad.
Uh-huh.
But me, because it's all you know.
Right.
And so I just thought that was the funniest thing in the world. He's like, you're like our shitty, like grimy, shit's all fucked up friend. Damn.
Yeah, I want to do a high school series where I just like ask them what they thought about me. Because I thought, like in my mind, I'm like, nobody knew anything. But I'm pretty sure everybody knew everything.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. My brother were talking about it when last time I was home. He was like, you do realize that like everyone knew all the shit that was going on in our house. And I was like, whatever, you know, like at this point, so what are we gonna do about it? But it is such an interesting feeling becoming an adult and being like, oh my god, I cannot believe that was like okay to do.
Totally.
I had a Russian friend in college, and he was also, I think his great grandpa invented like titanium that goes on the Russian helicopters or something.
Very cool.
And when Russia invaded Jordan, all the money in Cyprus got, and we learned about it in economics class. Like, yeah, they just froze all these Russian mobsters' assets. And we were talking to him. He was like, it's fucked up, dude. They like, like froze all my fucking money, bro. It's like, I gotta pay fucking tuition. What am I gonna fucking do?
That's so funny. That's like, what a crazy, like you're learning about like this crazy current event thing that feels so far away. And he's like, they fucked me.
Dude, what am I gonna fucking do? I remember him like only having like a TV and a couch left at his house because he had to pawn everything and his parrot.
Amazing.
Now, Nat, I am curious. You said you loved selling drugs. Mm. Was it because it was easy, or you just loved like that lifestyle?
What, not having a real job? That sounds amazing.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I feel like you could transfer the skills to just selling other things, no? Or is it like drugs are so easy to sell because people are addicted to them?
It's pretty easy. Okay. You don't have to really go and do much. Like
no advertising.
You just, all you do is take the risk. Mm-hmm. That's the big part. It's like you take the risk. And I would never do it here. I would never do it again anyway. But here, we know guys who sell drugs and it's like, oh, God, that's so scary.
I would never go to jail in Texas.
Oh, my God. And
why is it worse here than it would be in Massachusetts?
Worse drug law.
Oh, okay.
Much, much less lenient on the offender. In Massachusetts. Massachusetts, I crashed a car when I was 18. It had a bunch of pounds of weed and I had like 30 grand in cash. I had a scale, I had bags, I had everything, and a public defender, and I got a year of probation. You know,
well, also the boys
did they
in
confiscate
blue,
your money?
Yeah.
Also, the boys in blue in Massachusetts, listen, they understand what's going on in a boy's life. They just let you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's okay. I've been pulled over like blackout drunk. I couldn't find like my anything in my car, and he was like, the state trooper was like, go home.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, thank you so much. Like
straight up. Yeah, I loved it. I loved meeting sketchy people. I love meeting sketchy people. Some were pretty interesting, but for the most part, just sketchy. I love just like spending a bunch of money on bullshit. You know?
Yeah.
I'm a very material person.
I feel like in a lot of drug deals, they're like, come into my house, and you have to go in, and it fucking stinks like cats. Yeah. And you're just like, there's just shit on the ground. Like you can pick. Like you don't do anything all day.
My drug dealer in Portland, he actually told me he had the oldest cat in the world, and and I thought he was so hot, and he had also like a billion records, and he would just like take out like this bucket, and it would just be like one of those like 20-gallon buckets. It would just be like filled with Molly. He'd be like, I'd be like, how many people can do this? He's like, oh, it's enough for 10, but you could do the whole bag. You're not gonna die.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, amazing. Yeah, like, I loved him. I was like, sometimes he'd open the door in his boxers. I'd be like, what's about to happen between us?
Yeah.
He's like, you nothing.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh no, I'm a drug dealer.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what we do. Yeah. Yeah, I remember I hated like I had a couple buddies that I worked with and it was cool. But there was a lot of people that would work for me that like admired me and wanted like a closer friendship than I was willing to offer.
Yeah.
And like, so it was kind of reverse. It wasn't like the come in and watch my fish tank. It was like, get out of here. I don't want to have anything. Like, you're here to pay me money.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this one kid. He was a pretty good worker, and he would come through, and
I'm sorry, the way you're talking about them, you're like, these
was there
workers.
An onboarding?
Yeah, like, yeah, how does this
like,
work?
Did you have to, like, do someone, any, like, if training?
Someone, if someone vouched, and I liked their, like, someone had vouched for him, and I liked
their
vibe.
Just put a gun to their head and said, you know, if you ever tell it my name, you're
fucking
dead.
Have a gun?
No.
Did you ever have to get violent with anybody?
No.
Did
I
you
just
ever
count,
have
count my losses.
Yeah. So if they owed you money, you'd just be like, all right, well, we're not working together anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was making enough in other places that it would be like, okay, that's the end of our business relationship.
Okay.
I was never.
What's your biggest L?
My biggest L?
Yeah. It sounds like 30K. That
the biggest L maybe.
We're probably getting addicted to drugs yourself.
Yeah, that really put me in the red.
I guess 4 years of time.
This one dude owed me like $4,000 that never came up.
Okay.
But four grand's nothing.
And now at the time, yeah, it wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think if there's anything that I got bopped worse for. But yeah, I think that was it. It was this one guy. Motorola John.
Motorola?
Motorhole John?
Motorola John.
Oh.
And it was so funny. It was like he just worked at a Motorola store. That was the whole mm-hmm. thing. But he was a cool dude. We used to party and then like
hello.
He just...
Did you always go, hello, Moto?
Yeah.
Nice. That is fun.
We used to show up really high at, he was like the manager at a Motorola store. And it was like such a bad look. Just show up all fucked up. He actually said one of the funniest things I've ever heard. This one time we were sniffing Percocet all night and he got a whore. And her name was Mercedes. And for the whole week, whenever anyone asked John how he was doing, what was new, he goes, oh, I actually put a down payment on a Benz recently. And I was like, that's the funniest
that
thing
so
I've ever
funny.
Heard, just alluding to having got this whore named Mercedes.
And by whore, do you mean a sex worker?
She was a sex worker.
And
yeah.
Have you ever had a sex worker? Have you ever paid for?
Oh, yeah.
You paid for sex?
Yeah.
How many times?
hundreds.
No, not that many, but that was kind of the only way I was really able to meet active trans women. That was a majority of the...
Now, you find these women online or you find them on the street?
Online.
You ever drive down the street, see one kind of walk in, swaying her high heels around, you pull up next
yeah.
to her?
Yeah. No. Have you ever made an offer on somebody and they're like, oh, sorry, I'm not a hooker?
No. I've never met one in the wild.
I had a friend.
What is it like? Sorry. What is it like when you are meeting up with a sex worker for the first time?
It's pretty intimidating and weird.
Where do you go? Do a hotel?
Yeah.
And then, like, you get there first and then you give her.
They're there. People.
Yeah. It's
just, and you walk in the door and you go.
That she's doing that. Yeah. Yeah. It's like.
And you're like, I am not.
So yeah, do I pay yeah. pretty much. Yeah.
Do I pay you now or?
Yeah. They
I pay the guy outside. Are we
they
good?
Call the shots. You know what I mean? It's on their schedule pretty much. They usually are like in town and then they have a hotel and then you go.
Okay.
And then.
Usually.
I would try to go earlier.
Like 7 p.m.? Yeah, your whole night ahead of you.
No.
Oh, now I can get some work done.
Yeah. Really as early as possible, because my whole thing was like I would try to be the first fucking dude they blew out that day.
That's so smart.
Early bird gets the worm.
Yeah.
Are you using condoms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dental dams?
Yeah.
I don't even really know what a dental dam is.
I think it's just like a sheet that you put over... Like the vagina.
Oh.
Yeah. And it like kind of goes.
That's why I've never, seen one of those.
Yeah, I've never used one.
Huh. Wow. And then afterwards, are you, what, crying? You're saying, I can't believe I just did this.
I'm quite relieved. I'm like blushing.
You're like, stop.
Yeah, I feel very like loose and limber.
Do you go like, hey, we should do this again. I need your social. Like, how do I get in touch with you?
Not to be gross, and if you don't want to talk about this, it's completely fine. But the first time you were absolutely plowed, stuffed, railed up the ass, were you prepared for what? Were you prepped? Did you look up? No, you were just fucking shit. There was shit up there. You didn't clean it out.
Mm-hmm. Hairy asshole.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. The whole deal.
And did they say to you, like, I know you're paying me, but let's have a little respect?
Yeah. I've been directly coached from them before. Okay. They were like, okay, so here's what you do next time.
Next time.
Yeah.
Like, this time I'll jump in the shower. Yeah. But next time, wow. Mm-hmm. That's very, but
that's customer care. I like the way that they're treating their clients.
I was like, you're having ass sex. Shit's going to get involved every once in a while.
And
that's okay. And I can see your eyes kind of drifting apart. The shame's coming back to you. And
No. I was just, because I do want to preface that I've been like with the same woman for like 5 years now. So everything is like past tense.
Yeah.
That's not a preface. That's actually, because you could have told us that at the beginning of this. Yeah. That would have been a preface.
And she's super duper cool. There's no like, but I've realized that I've never...
I didn't know you had a girlfriend until like last week.
Yeah.
And I'm learning right now. So a preface. Yeah, that's true. And she's great.
But you guys are closed. Wonderful. It's not an open relationship.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most of the people we talk to on the podcast are like, monogamy's gross.
Is that true?
Gotcha.
And it's for sure true. I would say 90% of the people on the podcast.
Now, could you get off on then this? We don't have to talk about because it's your actual girlfriend, but on her pegging you?
That's how this started. I was like, oh, ass stuff is cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, pegging stuff is, like, pretty chill. And then you're like, oh, it's all a facade. That's the real thing. Yeah. It was I couldn't, like, pretend to like something for somebody else. And I think women being generally more empathetic, I think, they would do better at pegging someone that, like, let's say a guy's dick didn't work. Like, him pegging wouldn't work as well.
Yeah. I don't like dildos.
Yeah.
So, like,
I hate when guys want to use them too.
And I'm intimidated by it.
I just, you can feel the difference. Yeah. And it is a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever used a dildo?
On myself?
Has anything ever gone up?
My fingers have
Your
gone
fingers.
Up. Or a guy's fingers.
Uh-huh. Fingers are better than dildos.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. My husband bites his nails. And then they're to the nub.
It's just like a honey badger.
Right. But yeah, then he grew them out. And I was like, oh, it's way better that you have fucking nubs.
Wow, man. You can't catch a break on this one. Because I think you got to file them and stuff, right? Like, you got to make smooth. No,
he bites them to the, like, beyond, having any ridge.
So there's no scraping in the hole.
There's no nothing.
Okay, gotcha.
It's like Slender Man.
I thought if you just like cut them regular and then filed them so they were nice and they're like good. I don't know.
I'll run some experiments. I'll get back to you.
I just don't. I think if it's a vulnerability issue with me, I'm just like, I think I'm like a romantic. And I think if I'm gonna let some guy fuck me,
he has to light a candle.
Well, there's I have to like love him. Does that make me gay? Like
Norm Macdonald just completely out of nowhere on the pod on his podcast goes, "Here's one you never hear. He made love to me in the ass." Yeah. I thought that, which of course I don't believe to be true in like you know a loving relationship. But I do recognize that there's like some initial separation where it's like, oh, this is kind of more of a dominant affair.
Yeah.
In general. Because that's what's appealing about fucking a girl in the ass is it's not her vagina. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. We're so confused by that. I feel like if I had a vagina option, that'd be my number one.
That's where you're going?
That would be, yeah.
Well, because, okay, this is crazy.
Because I think my best sexual relationship I would ever be in, and I've never done it, would be
with a man.
A trans man.
Oh, okay.
I think that I would be like very happy with a trans man.
I think maybe you heard me talking about this, but one time I was hanging out with a trans.
This is what we fucking started laughing about because we were talking about the difference of genitality versus outside, and I said, "Would you ever?" I was like, "The trans man."
So this is a real conversation I had with a trans woman who we had just finished having sex. Her on top, and she was like at the time much more sexually open minded than me, and my position hasn't changed. And she goes, "Yeah, I really love like trans men. Like I really like that. Like a guy that is presenting as male and has a vagina." And I was like, "You're describing like a nightmare to me." I was like, "That's the most disgusting thing I could think about, of taking the most feminine part and putting it on a thing that I'm so unattracted to." Like that's, I get bored. I don't know if it's like phobia, but it's like that imagery. Have fun, enjoy, like being someone else being with it doesn't bother me in any degree.
Right.
But the idea of me being sexual with, I'm already unattracted to someone who looks like a dude.
Yeah.
Or is a dude. And then you put like a really like well-kept pussy on it, completely out. And I just thought it was so funny that like this girl had just finished railing me up the ass and she goes, "I like trans men." I go, "Bah!" I was like, "That's disgusting."
That's so funny because that actually is like the hottest thing it could be. Because we were laughing because we were like, "Oh, we are actually are traditional in our sexuality." Because you were like, "No, it has to be a woman." You know what I mean? You're like, "I want a woman," and I'm like, and then you asked me, "You're like, would you ever have sex with a trans woman?" And I was like, "No, I don't like women." You know, I want a trans guy though. Ugh.
And then does it kind of, because for me, it kind of ruins the vagina, the male part. So does the female part ruin dick that you would normally like when you see that?
Yeah, 100. That's that. It's not about the dick.
Right.
I'm not like, oh my God, I'll take dick at any fucking, you know what I mean? No. No.
Yeah, he is. As long as I'm putting it in my mouth.
I love sucking. but that's crazy. But they
He actually just gave me strep. We were talking at this. And it's because really his throat is a cesspool.
I've had a rough month.
His throat is beat up.
I'll tell you this. I literally was like, I hooked up with somebody and I got COVID. And then I was like, "God, I promise you that if after COVID, if you make this like not that bad, I don't know why I'm like praying, but I'm like, I will stop being a slut." And then COVID went away, immediately hooked up with somebody.
Who was a freak.
Yeah. And no. That's not that. It's someone else. And then it was like super
that's
fun.
A span of 4 days we're talking about, by the way.
This is all in the last month. And then immediately, like the next day, my fake teeth fell out, which Nat knows because I sent him a picture.
Yeah, crazy.
And then I was like, "God, if you make my teeth go back in, like I swear to God, this will stop." And then I got my teeth back in, and then I had sex with the hottest bisexual man I've ever had sex with in my entire life. Woke up, strep throat.
Yeah.
And so I'm really being punished by God for my horror behavior.
He got a bloody nose during that time.
Wow.
And he was like going to go.
From like face fucking?
Yes.
Was it not? Was
yes.
Yeah, listen. There was a
yes.
That's awesome.
No, I like, you know, I'm like, I'm very much into like masculine men face fucking me, calling me a faggot, whatever.
Sure.
It's like, I'm super cool. And so I got a bloody nose or whatever.
Fun at parties.
Yeah. But then I had a bloody nose and I was like holding it or whatever, whatever. And then I was like, obviously being like coy, I was like, I'm so embarrassed or whatever. And he did say the coolest thing ever where he was like, huh, I'm bisexual. I'm used to blood during sex. I was like, that's so cool. But then he started sucking
periods.
My dick.
Oh, yeah. Ew.
And then yuck. He started sucking disgusting. My dick with
you didn't get that?
No, because I don't do that. That's not.
You won't have sex on a period?
I really try actively not to.
Interesting.
I will sometimes if like. Tara really like.
Hey, he'll shoot some... up with a dirty needle, but don't, right? He's not gonna no. fuck you on your period.
She has called me out that it's funny how like childish and like a little boy I am about that compared to all the other like disgusting things that I like.
Like shitting like? In your bed and not realizing it.
Yeah,
he was sick.
Yeah, okay. But just like, you know, brutal ass sex, throat fucking on either side, like all the like all the shit that I do like. And then she's like, you know, it's a completely natural thing that happens all the time. And I literally am like not completely out.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get over that.
How are you? How?
Just doing it more, like exposure therapy.
Exposure
yeah.
therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and looking at it. And yeah. being like, you're okay. You're okay.
It makes it easier that I love her. You know
maybe
what I mean?
Scoop it up.
Fuck her like John that. Rambo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, really I was in high school. I had sex with the lights off. Mm-hmm. And she didn't tell me that it was her period. And then her boyfriend walked in and was like, what the fuck? And then she ran out. And so, like, I was like, whatever. And I went to the bathroom. I turned the lights on. And, like, my whole body was covered in blood.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just that like, happens? I didn't think. I was just like, this is yeah. pretty fucking cool. Like,
yeah. Do you have a big awesome. Old piece, huh?
Huh? It's a regular size.
Okay. Cool. I think it's thick. Bigger than regular.
It's probably, it's bigger than most guys I have sex with.
Yeah.
That's nice. So cool.
Yeah. That's rad.
Is but there a power dynamic when that happens?
I'm usually, well, no, because I'm like, don't stop looking at my dick. go to the back. I turn into the bus driver that told that Rosa Parks. I'm just like, move to the back. Move to the back.
That's hysterical, man.
I think it's so cool when bottoms have big dicks.
I think it's so cool. I go, stop looking at it. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's hilarious.
I feel like bottoms having big dicks is the same as like when you see the super skinny guy with a big dick.
That's so many super skinny guys have big dicks.
Tall
super
skinny guys.
Do they have big dicks? Yeah. Or yeah, does it just look
no,
bigger because their legs
bigger.
Are like
not
this?
Big.
No, because they're always, in... like, they're always like this fucking thick too, which is so cool. Like, I love when a guy's dick is so big that they try to ram it down your throat and it stops. And you're like, oh, wow, I guess this is
big. Yeah, but like, but you're still holding on.
Oh, you're like... Yeah, that's so
it
cool.
Is,
that's
it
why
is
I appreciate
cool.
I appreciate a girl with like a short throat so that when I'm fucking it, it's still an issue. It makes me feel big when I know I'm not.
Yeah.
You know what
a
I mean?
Short throat?
Can I ask you a question though?
Yeah.
And this might be disrespectful.
Sure.
Have you always been overweight?
Yes, for the most part.
Do you think that
I
if
had
you
like
lost
a short period
even
where
on
I
heroin?
On heroin I was much slimmer, but yeah. I was always like a bigger boy.
When you lose weight,
mm-hmm.
are you like, "Oh shit, my dick's bigger?"
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe...
Yeah, but it's never been like, oh, I have a big dick. that has never happened. Not
it's just
one
like
time.
I could see it without moving my belly.
You know, I know exactly when I learned that I had a... People call it medium. I just like call it like not that big. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, it's 5.5 inches. Like, I know
it's
in and out.
Then I do have a big dick.
Fuck yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I bet you have a 7.5 inch dick.
Yeah.
I you just know these things sometimes.
What's the cutoff for big dick?
I think 7's big.
I think 7 is big.
In gay world, 7's average.
Yeah. Guys,
I don't know.
You guys are nuts.
I'll tell you, if it's 8.5 or above, I'm like, no.
Those are just suckable. You know,
yeah.
That's,
I go, yeah. What are you going to do with that? No.
Yeah.
And they go, it'll fit. It'll fit. Let's just try. And I go,
they're cool
okay,
to look at.
Let's try.
Well,
yeah.
I remember when I learned. That because you don't know, and we were like 13 or something. We were at this party, and I walked in to one of the bedrooms to my friend Mutsko, and he was just laying in this bed with covers on. And I was like, "What are you doing?" And then I saw that like there was like motion, like he was getting bobbed on, and I was like, "Oh shit, my bad, dude." And he was like, "Oh, come on," and I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, get on." And I was like, I got like no pussy at this time. So I was like, yeah. And the girl was like, yeah, absolutely. And so I hopped in and I like whipped it out. And this is when you're like, you can get boners in like 0.05 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, ah. And I laid down next to him and he was just like way bigger than me. And I was like, oh, this sucks.
Wait. He was getting head like this.
Uh-huh. And then I laid
next to him. And you went to sit next to him?
I laid next
to him. You didn't go behind her?
No.
I love straight guys that hook up with friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so hot.
I now hate it, but at the time I would take what I could
to get. Why do you hate it?
Wait, would they blow? I don't understand what happened. She
was just bouncing in between us, blowing us.
Kind of like a the gopher game where you're hitting.
Pretty much.
Okay.
You open the cover, it's your mom.
It's like the gopher game if the gophers were like constantly fighting for attention. That's what it was like. If every time one popped out, I was like, oh, me, it's not enough me. That's what it was like. But I don't like fucking. I've been in like a couple devil's threesomes, and every time it's like, I'd rather just have sex with this girl on my own.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to know anything about anyone else. Like, I think it's like so much hotter when it's the what's hot is the moment that you're sharing with a person. With a I just remember this one time me and my buddy John were, there's two girls over and we were hooking up with each of them in either rooms, and then one girl, like the girl I was hooking up with, left, and then the girl that my buddy had just had sex with wanted to have sex with me, so I was like, cool. And then we were having sex. I'm getting his sloppy seconds. And he went upstairs to, like, drink or something. And then he came down while I was having sex with this girl. And she was like, yeah, you come and I'll blow you. And it was just, like, he was, like, just this, like, real, like, red, pudgy Irish Catholic guy. And he's literally, his beats were, like, beet red. And I just was, like, having sex with this girl. And then I just, like, looked over at my friend being, like, literally just, like, yeah, and I was like, I don't want any of that. You know what I mean?
So
I
was just like, "You go ahead." It sounds like you're having sex with ugly friends.
Like that. Maybe it sucks because they're gross.
Yeah, he's. I'll show you a picture after. He's not like a good looking guy. He's kind of like a cute little Irish guy. He's like a little leprechaun looking dude, I guess. But and then one time.
You really walked that back.
Yeah.
This disgusting well, pudgy,
fucking leprechaun, this redheaded, nasty pig.
He's he had up red there. Cheeks. He was going, I'll never tell you my name. And I said, I'm inside her.
What happens when you what happens when you say Rumpelstiltskin? Does he like disappear or something?
I think he disappears.
That's like how it is.
Oh, he gives you your baby back because he stole her baby.
I think Rumpelstiltskin, when you say his name, he gives you a riddle.
Yeah. In this one, he gives you a rim job.
No. The riddle is his name.
Rumpelstiltskin's always trying to trick you. So he
kinda... He's like, do you know my name?
Oh.
I stole your baby. That's the whole story. Gotcha. The whole story is I stole your fucking baby.
Gotcha.
Bitch.
Yeah. And I'll weave gold for you, too. He was also weaving gold.
Yeah.
I remember one time there was this girl that I was hooking up with, and she was like really – she was just – we were like probably 18, 19, and she was like kind of down to like fuck the crew.
I thought you were going to say downs.
No.
Wait, stop. Yeah. That was just the coolest sentence. She was kind of down to just like fuck the crew.
Yeah, she was. Like,
by the way, I'm always down to fuck the crew.
I'm down to fuck the crew.
Like, yeah. You guys come over, I'm like, your friend?
Yeah. I remember one time I was smoking crack with this homeless guy. and my buddy Phil was over, and Phil's like really put together, but and like really just like.
And wait, there's a homeless guy in your apartment?
Yeah, because that's who I was getting the crack from. And I remember Phil. I've told this story before, but Phil's my buddy. He's like a very like normal guy. He's kind of got his shit together when it comes to drugs and alcohol and all kind of all vices. But every now and then he'll be like, "Let's just get some crack," and I'm like, "Yeah." And so we had this guy over. And his name was like Freeze, and he was like this like crazy gay. Homeless guy, his lips were all blue from just like smoking rock all day. And I remember he was like, we were like smoking rock, and my buddy was like over here, and he goes over to me, he's like, hey, your buddy's cute. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, talk to him for me. And I was like, what do you want to say? He was like, talk to him. I was like, I'll give you a little cheese. He would call the rock cheese because it had like these Swiss holes in it, and that meant it was good. It was like a way of cooking it. And I was like, I don't know if he's gonna like budge on this one, man. And he was like, just talk to him. And I was like, all right. And I was like, hey, Phil, I think this, like, homeless black dude wants to suck your balls. And Phil was like, nah. And I was like, yeah, I told you, man. And he was like, I'll give you, he was like so persistent. I don't know how that, like, if you think this way, he's like, I'll give you lots of crack. He was just the craziest thing that he thought he was getting mad at me that I couldn't persuade my friend to be gay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For drugs.
Yeah. He's like, but it's crack. He literally was he's like, what more? Like, I could give you money, but then you just do use money to buy more crack. I'm giving you crack.
He was like, how does that not make sense to you?
Well, I feel like he was pissed because it's not that you couldn't, but you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, you just floated the idea. He's like, you know, Nat's a fucking drug dealer. He's a salesman at heart.
Being a bro.
That's so funny.
I don't know why this story. I was at the Volkswagen dealership, and the guy was just standing outside the service well, and he worked there, and he was like, yeah, I'm from Lubbock. I was driving tractors. Tractors are really cool. Yeah, we used to. And then he would just keep talking, and he was like, yeah, we would just drink and drive, and we had a girl. Her name was Tammy. I wouldn't ever call her a hoe, but we all shared her. Like that, yeah. Well, you gotta share sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's very. You can't call them hoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to relate to this guy, but having nothing to. Well, yeah, I know where Lubbock is.
Lubbock, crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Also, I meant to tell you at the gym. Another guy told me something.
What did he say?
Because I've been having these epics at the gym where I'm trying to talk to hot dudes.
By the way, me at the gym, I'm just like lifting weights. Guys come up to me. I'm like, no, you're the faggot.
But I was making eyes with this guy, and I was wiping down my bench, and he comes over. He goes, you ruined it. And I was like, why? He goes, I was going to smell the bench.
Oh, my God.
And
that was his first interaction with you? You were already talking to him.
No, that I was. And I was like, and I was like, but I had my feet on it.
That's not what you're supposed to say back.
What are you supposed to say?
You said you want this fucking hole right now?
Yeah.
What should I have said?
Let's role play it. Wait.
We don't need the chair.
You ruined it.
Yeah.
You ruined it.
Yeah. You don't need the chair to smell my feet.
No, we're starting at the top.
Oh, okay. So I'm you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ruined it.
Ruined what?
No more faggy.
No, it's me. You're playing me. Sorry, you're playing me.
Okay, go ahead.
You ruined it.
Ruin what?
The bench. I was gonna smell it. I know it's hard. You don't have any fucking thing to say to that.
But I had my feet on it.
Okay, so you're gonna say the exact same thing.
Well, then, because
should you say though?
Yeah, I would be like, oh, I was gonna smell it. Okay, so here's. Because here's why, is that wouldn't...
I'm telling you, it's hard, you don't, like, when people say this shit.
He's selling you into his kink that you don't necessarily share.
Right.
So, no, he does. So I would have been like, gross. You know what I mean?
Like, wait, is he hot?
Yeah, very hot.
Okay. And what, so did you just walk away after that?
No, he walked away.
He's pulling you, he's being you. He saw the clip of our last podcast, and he's being you.
I just go, he's such a me.
Yeah.
Wow, do you have your headphones in at the gym?
Mm-hmm. I had to go like this. What?
Oh my God, no, that's crazy.
I was going to smell it. I went, they remind my feet. That's what happened. It walks away.
The idea of like fumbling the bag, because it happens to everyone when someone doesn't like know when someone's attracted to them, and then your buddy's like, dude, that girl was so into you or something like that.
Yeah.
And but being like, I want to smell your butthole. and then I was just like, oh, ha, weird. And then you're like, what's up with that guy? He's like, oh, he wanted to have sex with you. And you're like, no.
No, I knew. Right. The thing is, I know what is on the table, but I don't know how, like, or do I go like, oh, let's go fuck right now?
Yeah.
Because he's clearly not being very coy. I mean, there's no games you're playing. He says, I want to sniff the fucking wetness that comes out of your body.
Oh, maybe you could do...
So then you could have said like, that. You I'll know see you later then, alligator.
Maybe next time you'll be the seat.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, are you good at like going up to women?
Awful. And
really?
Mm-hmm. Next time you'll be the seat.
I've never had a game either.
Next time. I think that's going to work a lot in gym culture.
Yeah.
I think that's going
to
work.
I have one line that I'm waiting to use, and I'm just going to wait my whole life to use it.
Hey, suck me, fuck me.
I'm waiting. I'm holding on to it.
I got banger in the bag.
You want to party and play?
Waiting. I love saying the party and play line in my new joke on stage.
It's
right
so
now.
Funny.
It's so fun. Yeah. Fun.
Hilarious.
No, if I see it's very specific. I you already know it. I think Jimmy does too, but I want to see a hot guy who's reading in public and then go up to him and be like, hey, I just wanted to say that I think it's really cool with how good looking you are that you can still read.
That's hysterical.
I think if he laughed at it, it would be a good sign, but yeah. I don't really have anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's no response to that either.
I'll be like, I'm going to go.
Yeah. I guess it's like,
I gave my number out.
Oh, to a bartender. He couldn't leave.
Zach.
Zach. Yeah. Zach. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is when you're talking to somebody in public and it's clearly like it's not like, hey, I'm interested in dating you, which I'm not. Mm-hmm. But like we're sexually interested. Do I just go like, do you want my number? Mm-hmm. Is that what you do?
Yeah, so
I just had heroin.
I have no game, but
you like heroin?
I was on a I used to do it. I was doing pretty well. Like probably the hottest streak I was on was 21 and 22, and then the first year and a half of being sober, and then I met Tara. But it was girls were just like into like me being direct. I'd be like, yeah, and then it's funny enough, I had a sponsor tell me this, and it fucking pissed me off so much. He was like, okay, so here's how it works now with your relationships with women. You have to be completely thorough and upfront about all your intentions. And I was like, well, then how do I get pussy? What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like,
you're supposed to trick them.
Yeah, you have to lie about what you're interested in. And he was like, no, you have to be like, I'm not interested in relationships and all this stuff. And then here's the big kicker, right? If you say that and they agree and they understand, but you still feel like that's something they want and are going for, you have to cut it. Which is what he's explaining to me is just being a decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was like, this seems like bullshit, what you're telling me. Because yeah. I have cleaned my side of the street. I've explained exactly. He was like, yeah, he's like, that's not how other people work. You know what I mean? They so have their
I'm
own
I'm actually wants- a really decent guy.
Yeah.
Because I actually just talked to these guys and they say, like, what are you looking for? And I go, I'm just looking to suck your dick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That does make you great.
Seriously, it's the best
and
move.
I'm not like, hey, I'm never like, we should go for a movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm not looking to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm. The only movie
I'm looking to watch is you fucking...
The difference is
doing
women,
a goatsy.
Women think, oh, he doesn't want a relationship, but that's because he hasn't gone out with me yet.
It's not just women. I definitely... Yeah.
But did you have a lot of female friends? Like I feel like
did I?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Okay.
I barely had guy friends.
Oh, you didn't have any friends.
I was more like me alone, mad at the world, and then I had like my soccer team and like my rugby team, and like.
And that was a whole confusing thing.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty friends. I feel like women have like really destroyed my life in a way that like is unrepairable because I was friends with them for so long, so I picked up all of their bad habits. It's like when
and
they
how you
it,
resent them for
no,
it.
Like, it's so. Like it's like when you find they find like an animal being raised by or a human baby being raised by animals in the woods. It's like he's like acting like an animal or whatever. It's like that's how I feel with women that like I just don't know how to date or do any of that kind of stuff because of them.
No, I think that most people go
and
how
then
the guys,
fuck
do you
yeah.
do this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But then when guys are like, I'm not looking for a relationship. I'm like, oh, he hasn't met me yet. I have that mm-hmm. special quality that women have.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't met me yet, who has never been in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Bring that up. Why bring up that?
Why am I dating you?
I know. I'm trying to be more respectful of... I know we probably have to end soon, but I... Oh, yeah. We're good. But I'm trying to be more respectful of the first guy I actually did date. Because I'm like, it's kind of rude of me to be like, I was never in a relationship when I was in one for mm-hmm. 3 months.
Right. But it didn't feel...
We were best friends for 2 years prior to that, and it was just a very complicated situation. But I'm always like, I've never been in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have any questions for us?
You're not going to say anything to me?
Well, I want to hear you.
Okay. Do you have any questions for us?
I mean, man, so many. What's kissing dudes like?
You don't kiss dudes?
Yeah.
Oh, I love kissing guys. They're more aggressive about it.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts on, I have friends who like have made out with guys and like to and will do it again, and they don't consider themselves bisexual.
That's
what,
fine.
What is up with
you
that?
You can give them my number.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know them.
Some people are fun. You know what I mean? Like, I hate it. Like, you don't have to. Why does everything have to be like, if you hook up with a guy, you're gay? No, let's just make out, see how you feel.
Yeah, I like that your angle is like, because then if they think they're gay, they won't do it again.
Well, I don't know. I had a lot of friends in Europe that were just like, yeah, it's just like something fun to do. And in America, especially now, everybody's caught up in their identity and like want to tell you every single part. Well, on this. Mm-hmm. And really, it doesn't make you anything to do things one day.
Mm-hmm. I'm also someone. And
I'm like, I'm not a painter. Yeah. I painted once. I'm not going around like, right. I think I'm paint curious. Sure.
I feel like we both know the type of gay guys that like, I've kissed a lot of straight guys, not in like a sexual way, but I feel like, especially when I was drinking a lot, they'd be like, Dylan, get over here. And they give you a big old kiss. You're like, I love my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean Patton was, I shouldn't, well, maybe. Well, I, like, we're in a festival and I had just grown my hair out and he didn't recognize me. And he goes, Colton, what the fuck? And he came over and gave me a big kiss.
Yeah.
At 0 point was like, I think Sean's gay.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
He's just, I don't know. I think he's just free.
Straight men need love too.
Yeah.
And they need to feel appreciated and pretty. Yeah.
Where are they going to get it? A woman?
Yeah. I'm here to tell you why you look good. You know, I'd fuck you. The straight men love it. They're like, Dylan, stop.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So at this point, we just come to our final question, I think.
Yeah. We have one final question, which the whole podcast is really about, which is, if you were a gay man, would you rather have sex with me or Colton?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Colton only bottoms, I only top.
What do you mean?
Well, because I'm a switch. Oh man, so Colton only bottoms, you only top. What's a better story?
No, this is about your own sexual pleasure.
We won't tell anybody.
Yeah, this is a secret.
I think I'd fuck Colton.
That's so cool.
And thank you for coming.
I think I'd fuck Colton.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to plug? Anything coming up?
It's all the same shit. We got a show every Friday at the Alamo Draft House in Mueller for any Austin listeners. Nat.comedian on Instagram. I put a bunch of cool stuff on there. Nat.comedian. And then we have our podcast with Spencer Caven, Slam Time Live. It's a super duper good time. And I think that's all I got going on.
Love it. The show's all the time.
Check my Instagram.
Hell yeah. Well, that's been our show. I've been Colton Dowling. You can find me at Colton Dowling.
At Dylan P. Carlino.
And
Jimmy Clifford.
Yeah.
Love you
guys.
Bye.
Mwah.